Hello, and welcome to the Screaming Into the Mic podcast, a medium normalizing the expression of women's anger. Soraya Chimali writes, "Gendered ideas about anger make us women question ourselves, doubt our feelings, set aside our needs, and renounce our own capacity for moral conviction. This podcast is where I take a stand and say no more through creating a safe space for women to share their rage in a public forum. I'm your host, Mary Abdelmalek Neal. I'm a musician, community developer, and feminist activist. Join us for each episode as we talk with women about the struggles they face in work and life. We begin this podcast this season chatting with women in the arts. Thanks for tuning in. We welcome to the show Min Chao Wu. Min Chao is a first-generation Chinese-American artist based in Kitchener, Ontario. As a child of immigrants, an expat, and someone who contains an intersectionality of identities within her, Min Chao chooses clay to express her own malleability of identity. She's a self-taught artist and received a Bachelor's of Science from Cornell University. After careers in investment banking and at startups, she left her tech job in 2020 to become a full-time artist. This is Screaming Into the Mic. Hello, Min Chao. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mary. Good to be here today.
I'm so excited to have this conversation.
Me too. This is my first podcast.
Oh, that's great. Welcome. We're just going to chat today. No pressure here. I love that you're also my neighbor down the street. And I'd be like, come over. Let's have a chat on microphones. So it's great. Let's just jump right into it.
Okay.
Tell our listeners a little bit about your artistic practice.
Sounds good. So for everyone listening, my name is Min Chao Wu, and I'm the owner and operator behind Wu Ceramics, which is a pottery studio based right here in Kitchener and just down the street from Mary. These days, my artistic practice really centers around clay. And it's just, I guess my goal is to expand the ocean of pottery. And truly what I love is sharing and teaching people that they too can be creative, because I actually came to clay without a BFA, feeling kind of like an imposter, because in the past, clay is actually my fourth career, if you can believe it. So it's been really an interesting transition to be doing ceramics full time, pretty much starting in 2020, 2021.
Wow. And I did take a peek at your website and your beautiful pieces. And I noticed when you talk, you have this spark when you talk about clay and pottery and about malleability and how that you can bring that experience and connect it to your life experience. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, clay is such an amazing material, actually. If you've ever touched it, you can realize how tactile it is. It is extremely soft, but it can be hard. When you bake it in the kiln, it turns into this like extremely durable material that lasts for, thousands, tens of thousands of years. And it just has this incredible history, knowing that you're part of an art form of a family that has been here for much longer than you've been here and will continue to be here for much after. And so I really love that material. And I have forgotten your question.
Oh, no, I was just wanting to know, like, you talk about how you connect clay to life and like how working with clay and being malleable and creating, transforming it and creating new things is similar to like one's life journey. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about like those connections that you make and how you bring your life into your art.
Well, I would say that, you know, I truly believe that people are capable of change. And for me, the malleability of clay is kind of like that. You can form it, and then if it dries out, you just add a little bit of water, and then you squish it back into clay again, you know? And I think that we are all on our own personal journeys of discovery. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, the Minchow of today, or as like I like to think about it, present Minchow, is quite different from past Minchow. Mm-hmm. And I believe that future Minchow will also probably be somewhat different from current Minchow, right? And same thing with, you know, clay. It's just, it reflects the human touch in a way that I think is so visible. And, you know, it can go through all these transformations. And if you're, you know, tired of it or you want to make a new piece, it's totally recyclable. And that's kind of wondrous, actually.
That's beautiful. Thank you. I want to go back a little bit to what you were talking about in terms of thinking of your future and changing. And I want to bring in, as I always do in our podcast, I always bring in a quote from a feminist author. So I'm bringing a quote this time from Alice Walker, who says, "Look closely at the present you are constructing. It should look like the future you are dreaming." And you talked about, and I think that quote's beautiful because you talked about how clay is and pottery is like your fourth career. How did you move from, you know, back in working in investment, banking? Tell us a little bit about your journey from full-time kind of in investments or startups into moving into full-time artistry and art as your practice.
Yeah. It really has been a journey, and it's been a journey of self-discovery, and it's been long. I will say that, you know, when I graduated from university, I got a degree in applied economics and management, which transitioned into a couple of years on Wall Street, actually.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're putting in 90-hour weeks, and you know, it was tough, but I needed money, right? And mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that out there. Money is important.
Yep.
I had, you know, I grew up in the States. Mm-hmm. So student loans, you know, I didn't grow up from a well-to-do family. I didn't even grow up in a middle-class family, right? I grew up in a single family household with a probably one would call lower middle or lower class income. And so in order to pay my way through college, I relied on, frankly, grants and student aid and working several jobs on campus. And so I knew that when I graduated and the major that I chose, I had to be strategic. And I knew that I needed to make the quote unquote smart decision mm-hmm. versus the one that I really wanted to like learn or take. And so that translated into just kind of like battling my way into interview rooms where, you know, unfortunately, I didn't have the, oh, you know, my dad kind of connection.
Right.
Right. And just kind of getting out there out of my comfort zone and finding those internships and essentially somehow I probably got really lucky navigating my way onto an investment banking firm out of school. And that enabled me to pay off my student loans. So that was step one. Once I finished paying off my student loans, I was like, oh my gosh, my bosses who, you know, they're making lots of money, right? They have two houses, one in the Hamptons. They've got kids in private schools, right? And yet they're still there on a Friday evening at 10 p.m. Mm. looking through the like pitch decks that we would send to clients that following day. Right. And so I looked at them and I was like, is this what life is?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Do I want to start having gray hair when I'm 25?
Shudder.
And so that, you know, made me really think. And I honestly, I left the industry because to me, that wasn't, you know, I was lucky. I paid off my loans. That was my primary goal. And so now I had a bit of breathing space to figure out what next.
Right.
And I realized that the, you know, after some eat, pray, love time, I went to California and I started off again, just kind of living in temporary sublets because housing was so difficult to find. And then again, trying to just find any kind of job that was in the startup land that was not in finance. Mm. Because I had people be like, oh, well, you can just come work for our finance team. And I was like, well, I literally just left that. Yeah. So I don't want to go back to that. So I turned a couple of like short-term contract positions into longer full-time work and then started off sort of doing marketing and like marketing operations and marketing project management. And then eventually got headhunted to a Series A startup to start off their customer success team and grew that team from, you know, one or two people to 20-ish people, started doing some people management there and I loved it. And then, you know, realized that, again, life was short and like I wanted to start my own startup because, you know, I was in Silicon Valley at the time. Everybody wanted to start their own startup. Right.
Yeah.
Right?
That was definitely the economy.
Right. And I was chasing that kind of immigrant mentality of success. Mm. Right?
I hear you.
Like, what can you do now? You've got, you know, you've done this, you've done that. Like, yeah. I'm not going to be a doctor at this point.
Yeah. So. You mean you didn't want to go back to school for another 8 years?
No. Also, blood makes you squeamish. And so a friend of mine from university and I started this company, and it was, the roller coaster of emotions was so tough. And frankly, I just didn't like making cold calls. Like, yeah. At the end of the day, that was really difficult for me. And so about a year and a half of that, and at this point, I had moved from California to Kitchener.
Okay, so that's how you, I was trying to figure out where in your journey, how did you get here?
Yeah, well, long okay. story short, California was, San Francisco is extremely expensive.
Right.
Even with, you know, both me and my partner having at the time two tech salaries, it was unaffordable. Mm-hmm. And so when we got married and my partner is Canadian, part of that was let's move to Canada and like let's find a place that, you know, has both pottery and tech jobs. And that, you know, we have family in Sudbury, we've got family in Barrie, we've got family in Mississauga, and we just didn't want to be on that line of travel.
So that's how we got you here.
So KW was great. And it's very reminiscent of the town that I grew up in, which was in central Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So a culture of like Mennonites and university town. So this honestly feels very much like home.
Well, you know, our Mennonites have a history from the Pennsylvania German Mennonites that moved up to here. So
yeah. I was, when I passed by Schneider House for the first time, I was like, oh, Lancaster, my parents went to Millersville.
That's so awesome. Oh, that's great. So that's how we, okay, so you married into the Canadian.
That's right.
Into the Canadian context. Okay. That's
yes.
Good. That's fun.
And honestly, we love it here. Yeah. You know, U.S. politics is a little bit dicey. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's great to be in Canada. Love it. Love the bike paths.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of, you know, moving here was also when I, you know, was like, okay, do I really want to still do my startup?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, of course, waiting for my PR, you know, you're not allowed to work.
Yeah.
Right? And so working on my startup is fine because I wasn't getting any money anyway. And my partner at the time was like, you know, you've been dreaming of building a pottery studio for years. And the reason why you want to work on this startup is so that you can exit the startup with cash so that you can build your own pottery studio and do that more full time, which was impossible again to do in San Francisco.
Right.
And he was like, well, we do live in Kitchener now and maybe this is a good time. And so in March of 2020, right on Kijiji, I found a wheel. So I do wheel thrown pottery mostly. And I picked it up the week before we went into lockdown.
Oh my goodness.
And we were still living in like a small apartment I put in the unheated garage. Oh, jeez. And I also left my company, decided to transition out because, mm-hmm. you know, not getting paid for 2 years was a bit tough, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, essentially starting from March, I was just throwing and throwing, and clay was my, honestly, it was such a lifesaver during that early pandemic time. Even though I was cold and the water was like freezing.
Right.
And I wore like all my jackets in the garage.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I eventually got a heater, but still. And around that time, we were lucky enough to get into the housing market. And so working on the house was great. And I also saw the sunroom, which is now where my personal home studio is located. And I was like, this is the house. This is my room. This is like the start of Wu Ceramics.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And so, you know, that was the place where I used a pry bar for the first time to take out these 4-inch nails, you know?
So you really put in like your hands got into all of it.
Absolutely. Blood, sweat, tears, all of the above were our stains.
Nice.
In the house. And sadly, in fall of that year, right before we were about to move in, my father passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. You know, and we weren't close, but we were trying to make that relationship better in the last couple of years. And it was quite shocking, actually. The whole process took only 6 weeks from understanding his cancer diagnosis to sort of me going down to see him and him passing the next day.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that was very difficult from an emotional standpoint and from a, frankly, a logistical standpoint, having never done that before, mm-hmm. Because he was quite young. He was only 58.
Wow.
And it really showed some, I guess, life lessons in sharp relief. I was like, you can go at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know what life has to offer you, and you don't know when you're going to be called up, right? And so, like, what do I do with my one most precious life? And that, I think, really, you know, committed me, at least for now, to really develop and focus on my art and to focus on spreading the joy of clay to the broader community, because that's the impact I want to have.
And so now, in addition to your own individual pieces that you sell, mm-hmm. Do you offer classes? Do you offer...
Yeah. So I do have a small home studio. It has two wheels.
Okay.
And so the class that I offer is a one-time session. It's 2.5 hours. I call it the Try It Wheel Workshop. And the idea is to try it before you kind of commit to like a 6 or 8 week long class at a different studio.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I get a lot of, it's really great because I didn't realize at the time, but I get a lot of people celebrating birthdays and anniversaries.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Right? And so they just come in to make a piece.
Yeah, and, you know, I have this whole teaching philosophy of, you know, because I never thought I was creative, mm-hmm. right? Like, and clay taught me that you can learn and practice to be creative and to be artistic. And so what I want to show my students is that even if you weren't creative or you didn't think you could do it, you can,
mm-hmm.
right? I want to empower you. And clay is so mesmerizing as a material. And the wheel is also actually hypnotizing, as one can imagine. That it's such a beautiful session for the, you know, intimate classes that, and, you know, they'll be able to make their pieces, you know, they get to pick their best piece because we make 3 pieces, hopefully, 2 to 3 pieces each. And then in their last piece, I always see them, I'm totally hands off. They're doing it by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible to watch that progress just over, you know, 2.5 hours.
That's lovely. We will add information about that to the show notes in case anybody's interested in connecting with you about those classes. I wanted to ask you a little bit about sort of your experience establishing yourself here in this community, specifically kind of looking at your intersectionality. You refer to yourself as a first generation Chinese American artist, mm-hmm. and now you're in Canada. So how has it been sort of with your intersectionality and then trying to sort of establish yourself in this community and then maybe just more broadly in as your practice and as a ceramic artist?
That's a great question, and something I'm still trying to figure out, to be honest. Okay. Because I arrived in Canada fall of 2019 and COVID happened early 2020, it's actually been kind of like, oh gosh, where are all the people?
Right.
Thankfully, when we did arrive, I immediately joined the Waterloo Potters Workshop, which is our local guild. And that was one of my first clay homes in the area because it, you know, it's right in Waterloo Park. And, you know, as a member, you can go in and mix glazes and use their wheels, etc. With COVID, though, the workshop was closed because it's non-essential. Right. But in addition to the guild, I also noticed when we first visited Kitchener several years ago now that there was a Canadian Clay and Glass Gallery, which is a museum, a nonprofit. And so I actually, starting in late 2019, I started volunteering there because I, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, where are all my clay homes? I've got to find them.
Right?
Right? And so those were really my first two clay homes. And then once I got my wheel, you know, that was first year pandemic, right? Where you weren't allowed to like leave your house. And then come second year pandemic, when, you know, you're still wearing your mask, but restrictions are slightly lifted, I took a week long intensive course.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Here in town with a Jason Labbe, who owns Labbe Pottery in Waterloo. Okay. And that was... wow. Yeah, I know. I mean, can you imagine? Like, clay is a very physical activity, and you were throwing from like 9 to noon and 1 to 4. Like, it was actually exhausting. I mean, in the best possible ways, right? And he's a master teacher. And from that class, I was like, oh, well, you know, Jason is kind of getting along in his ears, and there's a lot of cleanup to do in a pottery studio, right? And I had previously, you know, managed some studio tech stuff back in the day in San Francisco. And so I was like, oh, would you be interested in like a work exchange where I squeegee your floors and I'm like your karate kid, right? Wax on, wax off. Except I'm an Asian female and he's an old or a white man.
Love it.
And so his studio became my third clay home.
Okay.
Before building my own clay home in my actual home.
Yeah.
So that's been a way of establishing sort of some feelers into the clay community here. And of course, visiting Globe Studios, which is where S&S Pottery Supplies is. And then just meeting people in different kind of venues and markets and sales, which is slightly more difficult to do as I don't own a car and pottery is heavy.
Yeah.
But I'm still trying to figure out how to, you know, meet more artists of different disciplines. And so it's been so great to go to some of the Pat the Dog Theater events just because I didn't even know the existence of that group until maybe a couple months ago. And I didn't know the existence of, you know, Kafka or other things until just a couple months ago, again, yeah. Probably because of COVID. And so I'm just, again, still trying to figure out and network and meet people and just share and listen to what is, you know, present in this great community.
That's awesome. It's amazing. And what inspires your work? Like, does your culture inspire your work? Does your, like, how is it? I mean, I saw some of your very lovely pieces online. And I'm just wondering, like, what inspires you to create and where do you get your motivation, your inspiration from?
Yeah, great question. I think there's a couple of themes that I explore. In my wheel thrown work, that is like more of the everyday work that I, make multiples of, I'm inspired by exposed clay and having that kind of juxtaposition of natural material along with glaze work and a little bit of like hand touches so that, you know, you can tell that it's like handmade and not mass produced. For some of my more sculptural pieces, I was lucky enough to be accepted into the ceramics residency last year in France. And the project that I applied with was really close to my heart. It's based off of a saying that my mother, who's also an immigrant, right, always taught me when I was little. And the saying is, "Oh, duan si lian." And that's a Chinese idiom, and what it really means is that when the lotus root is broken, the silk strand still connects us. And so, like, what she expressed to me and what I interpreted was that even though, you know, she left her homeland from China in her early 20s to travel for better opportunity to America, the pieces, you know, the lotus root, aka the pieces of her family, are now broken, they're split. But when you break lotus root and you stretch it, you actually see these little strands of silk that connect the two broken root pieces. And so that taught me that, you know, just because you're not living with a family member doesn't mean that relationship is gone, right? The strands are nearly invisible, but they're still ever present and they're strong, right? Lotus silk is very strong. And so in my residency in Valaris, I created a series of lotus root sculptures that used both, you know, clay and also wire and hair to express that connectivity. And probably one of my favorite pieces from there is a two-part set I created called Mother and Child. And it was these biomorphic lotus roots, one a little bit smaller that nestled into the bigger one. And they were attached with wire such that they're a two-parter, but actually a set.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and I really hope to make more lotus root chips that like dangle and hang and have threads coming out. You know, one of my dreams, you know, future Minchao, please, is to find a space and to do an installation
full yes.
of these chips that have like threads and wires and just connectivity, because that's a big theme for me. Connectivity, especially the Asian diaspora, is what I really relate to, but I think that can relate to any person, right? I'm now a twice immigrant. Maybe three times? I don't know. So, you know, knowing that where you are and you love where you are and you still remember and love, you know, your roots.
Mm. Oh, that's so beautiful. I hope you get to put this installation on. And if it happens before this podcast comes out, we will put it in the show notes for people to come and find you.
Sounds good.
This has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much. Just want to wrap up with the typical question that I ask. What's on the horizon for you that listeners can look out for? How can they get in touch with you? What can you offer people who are interested in learning more about pottery? I mean, we talked about your classes and we'll definitely include that information. But yeah, what's coming up?
Well, so I'm actually working on this project that I'm tentatively calling Patchwork.
Okay.
And it's a series of badges that are going to resemble Girl Guide badges.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But instead of sort of the badges that you earned, you know, because you worked hard for them when you were a guide, like I was when I was young, these are badges of kind of unwanted tokens. So they kind of relate to my self-journey and personal experience of growing up as one of the very few Asian Americans, one of the very few Chinese Americans in Pennsylvania in the 90s.
Hmm.
And so they're going to have themes kind of like, you know, your English is so good, which I got told many times. Or me love you long time. which is unfortunately I also got told quite a few times. And kind of those themes, but more represented in a badge form.
That is so intriguing.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yes.
Details to come because they're currently in creation.
Oh, that's exciting. Hopefully by the time this podcast comes out, you will have, we'll be able to explore those more publicly and people can actually access because that sounds amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, if you ever have Potter related questions or you're interested in my work, feel free to check out my Insta at WU Ceramics.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for this conversation. And I'm sure our listeners will be in touch.
Thanks, Mary.
Thanks for joining us for this conversation. To learn more about how to connect with our guests, as well as resources mentioned during the episode, check out the show notes. If you are enjoying this podcast and are a woman local to the region of Waterloo looking for a safe place to release your anger, check out our Facebook group, Screaming Into the Void Waterloo Region. The link is in the show notes as well. Don't forget to tune in for our next episode as we continue to explore the journey of women in the arts.
That's awesome.